This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm a board-certified emergency critical care veterinary specialist and toxicologist. Thanks for joining us today. Today, we're going to be talking about all things dog training related. So if you have a dog, I absolutely want you to tune in because I'm super excited to have a special guest today. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee. I'd like to tell you about Natural Farm all-natural dog chews and bones, made from sustainably sourced ingredients and produced and lab-tested in their factory in Brazil. Natural Farm has some new exciting products, including stuffed collagen sticks in three different flavors, bully stick, peanut butter and chicken, power bully sticks made from beef cheek and pizzle, and peanut butter flavor collagen sticks. Your dog will love them. Go to naturalfarmpet.com and save 15% off with code ERVET15.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
To ER Vet and Pet Life Radio. Today, I'm really excited to speak with the Executive Director, Bradley Pfeiffer, of the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers, which is often abbreviated as CCPDT. Bradley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is a great opportunity. We're really looking forward to the conversation.
You know, I'm so glad that we were able to connect because one of the things as a veterinarian that I can't stand is a poorly trained dog. And I always say my only two rules for dog ownership are 30 minutes of exercise a day and two levels of obedience training. And if you can't commit to that, I always say you really shouldn't get a dog. And this is especially important after COVID when everything was shut down. And now we veterinary professionals see, unfortunately, a lot of poorly behaved dogs. So before we begin, if you don't mind just giving us a little bit of background about who you are, what you do, and what exactly CCPDT is, that'd be super helpful.
Sure. My name is Bradley Pfeiffer. Day to day, I am a professional dog trainer working out of Indianapolis. Offering companion dog training primarily is what me and my company serves. And then my the other role that I play within the profession right now is as the executive director for the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers. The CCPDT is an independent certification organization for the industry. We have 5,400 certificates worldwide. The bulk of those trainers or dog behavior consultants are located in North America. The United States being our primary market of trainers. And what we offer is an independent credential that is not connected with any sort of education program or completion of like a certificate course.
Now, being that ER Vet is mostly dog and cat owners that are listening, I wanted to ask you, what's the one thing that you want both veterinarians and pet owners to know about dog trainers and the dog training community?
One of the things I always say to my clients is it takes a village. Right? The dog's owners need their veterinary team. They need their training team. They need their grooming team. It takes a village to raise a dog, and owners need the support of trainers to learn how to teach their dog to behave in public and teach their dog how to fit into their life. And we can also be an intricate part of making sure the dog is comfortable with the examination process, the veterinary process. And so I think it's important for veterinarians and dog trainers to work together as part of the dog's caretaking team. I really do think it takes all of us.
About kids, it takes a village because it's really hard. So I'm so glad you brought that up, whether or not it's a two-legged or a four-legged kid, it really does take a village. Now, a couple things I oftentimes get yelled at by my pediatrician is I often correlate human raising my six-year-old with dog training. So that may just be the dog lover and the veterinary professional in me, but there's so many correlations. Now, I did want to ask you, what are the top issues and concerns on the mind of professional dog trainers?
There's a number of things that are facing us right now. One of the big pieces is that dog training is an licensed profession. And so, you know, we're working a lot at the CCPDT on raising awareness at a state level to bring model legislation for dog trainers. So that way we can create kind of a minimum standard across the board that dog trainers need to meet in order to be able to practice and provide services to the public. The other thing that's really important is that when we are referring our patients or I guess the veterinary patients to a dog trainer, that veterinarians are also doing their due diligence to make sure that they're referring their patients to someone who is skilled and has demonstrated competence. I was really fortunate, you know, several years ago, probably in my, you know, middle 20s, to work for a veterinary clinic here in Indianapolis that as part of their standard of practice, we together opened a dog training facility. And so we offered day training programs and group classes. And so within that model, when one of the doctors saw a new puppy patient or was doing their semi-annual exams and the owners had mentioned that the dog was having some challenges at home, the veterinarian at that moment was able to not just say, well, you should enroll in training, call Brad, or I've heard good things about the, you know, the local trainer over on Main Street, but they were able to refer the patient to the in-house trainer. And that helped a lot because it allowed us to be, again, a part of that caretaking team. You know, we knew what the veterinarian wanted. We were able to refer back to the medical notes and we were able to put our training notes in. And so that really helped create continuity, but not every veterinary practice has that option, obviously. And there are a number of trainers in every city that are really well qualified, but not every trainer has demonstrated the same level of competence. And not every certified trainer has passed the same rigorous examination or is expected to abide by the same standard of practice. And so the other thing that I think is really important as we start talking about the veterinarian and dog trainer relationship is just simply what to look for in a credential. And the CCPDT has a couple of credentials that the veterinarians can be looking out for. And that is the Certified Professional Dog Trainer Knowledge Assessed and the Certified Professional Dog Trainer Knowledge and Skills Assessed. And those credentials can give the veterinarian team peace of mind that the person has passed a knowledge-based examination, that has demonstrated competence in the field, they are maintaining their education through continuing education, and they're being held accountable to the standards of practice and code of ethics. So I think that's one piece of the puzzle. And then from there, making sure that the veterinarian team is taking the opportunity to meet the trainer, ask questions about their style of training, their skill set, their experience, maybe even sitting on some classes or getting some client referrals, just to make sure that we are making sound decisions when we're passing your patients off into the training world.
Oh, good to know. You know, you're so right in that when people ask me, oh, where do I find a dog trainer? Or I see this on, you know, Facebook groups where people are looking for advice. It's often very hard to know what distinguishes a dog trainer that's certified versus one that's not, one that's had appropriate training. My general guideline is when I see a trainer that uses negative reinforcement, like they're hitting the dog, they're using shock collars or using choke chains, I automatically avoid those. I will say as a veterinarian, I'm more biased towards those that use positive reinforcement and those that use things like gentle leaders or things like that. So really important that we know that. Now, I'm going to ask you the same thing. When do you have red flags in terms of like, I must absolutely avoid this dog trainer? Are there certain red flags that you avoid?
There certainly are certain red flags. I think first and foremost, as you mentioned, today's dog trainer, right, is employing positive reinforcement through food and toys as their primary means of teaching behaviors or skills. It is an antiquated way of training when we're talking about, you know, dominant theory. You've got to be the alpha dog. You've got to be the pack leader. You know, those are certainly good marketing terms. And sometimes pet owners can identify with them based on, you know, television shows and books and things like that. But I think first and foremost, when a trainer is using some antiquated language, talking about, you know, you got to be the energy when you're training your dog and things like that, or their primary tools of choice are remote training collars to teach skills. Those are red flags that we want to stick away from, especially when you're looking at puppy training classes or basic obedience classes for companion dogs. I mean, we know that every dog benefits from positive reinforcement based training strategies. So,
any age. Like, again, I mentioned when people first get that dog, I always say, I want them to have at least two levels of puppy obedience. And I know the first time I had my first adult dog, when I actually went through it myself in Ithaca, New York, I found it so helpful on how to train a dog. So it's oftentimes training you, the human, also.
Most dog training is more about the human education, learning how to handle your dog, learning how to teach your dog new skills, learning how to manage your dog's environment so that they're not rehearsing undesired behavior patterns that can then get out of hand, for sure. The dogs do what dogs do. And most of the time they learn quickly through, you know, behavior patterns, social interaction, the use of positive reinforcement. We as humans need to learn how to, you know, to do our jobs well.
Now, I know you already touched on this when it comes to certification and credentials, but do you mind just clarifying a little bit more? How important are certification credentials for dog trainers, and how does one look that up as a dog advocate for their own pet?
We have a couple of resources for dog owners. They can visit our website, which is ccpdt.org, or they can visit our consumer-focused website, which is fetchtheanswer.com. On both sites, they're going to find a trainer directory where they can search by trainers, credentials, location, city, state, zip code, and find trainers in their area that have passed one of our certification exams and earned the credential. The Fetch the Answer website also has additional information related to dog ownership. So there's blog articles, there's some videos, there are some information sheets on, you know, to just kind of triage problems, how to crate train your puppy, for instance, how to teach your dog to come when called as an interim step until they can connect with a trainer. I think the credential, it's important because it's about accountability. You know, with when there's no licensing requirements for dog trainers, as there are in veterinary medicine or even within, you know, the veterinary technician community, anyone can identify as a dog trainer and read a book or take an online class, and then begin offering services to the public. So there are, to be fair, a number of really well-qualified, skilled dog trainers in America that are not certified. They've elected not to gain an independent certification. They might be a member of a trade organization, but they haven't gotten certification. I think the important piece about certification, especially when we're looking at who do we refer to, I think it's two pieces. One, it's important that we as professionals have demonstrated competence in our field before we are then educating the public. And then the other piece is the accountability piece. While we as the CCPDT can't make someone, you know, we have no legal enforceability to prevent someone from training dogs, if one of our certificates is found to have violated the standards of practice and code of ethics, then we have the opportunity to come in and provide them with more education, put in some sort of sanctions to make sure that they are beginning to follow best practices. So I think that accountability piece is really important when people are making decisions on who to refer to.
Thank you so much. Fantastic information. And again, we really want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence when it comes to finding the right dog trainer, because we want to make sure we're setting up our canine family member up for success. We'll be right back with Bradley right after these messages.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. We're super excited to be able to speak with Bradley Pfeiffer. And we've been talking about all things dog training. We've been talking about the importance of making sure your newly adopted or your newly purchased dog undergoes dog obedience lessons. And more importantly, how to find the right certification to make sure that your dog is being appropriately trained. Now, what are the top scenarios that a veterinarian should think about when it comes to referring their dog owners or their dog clients to a dog trainer versus a veterinary behaviorist? We've had veterinary behaviorists on a show before on ER Vet. And what's the difference? When do you go to a dog trainer versus a veterinary behaviorist?
You know, in my opinion, the standard, the average patient coming to the vet clinic is going to benefit from visiting a dog trainer or even maybe a dog behavior consultant. You know, the CCPDT has a dog behavior consultant certification as well. It's the CBCCKA, which stands for Certified Canine Behavior Consultant. And the difference there is dog trainers are really focused on skills and behaviors, house training, crate training, come when called, go to bed and stay. Maybe, you know, parlor tricks. It's skill-based training. Behavior consultants start focusing more on fears, phobias, maybe aggressive behavior, reactivity on leash, for instance. So I think the average patient is going to, especially if we're talking, you know, their puppies or their adolescent dogs, they're going to benefit from visiting with a dog trainer or a dog behavior consultant. The veterinary behaviorist oftentimes comes in, again, it takes a village. And so depending on the severity of the fear, phobia, or aggressive behavior, the length of history, if there's concern that there may also be some physiological pieces going on that's contributing to the behavior, then I think we need to tie in the vet behaviorist. If the primary care veterinarian doesn't have a lot of experience or training in behavior, then it might make sense to incorporate both the vet behaviorist and a dog trainer or dog behavior consultant into the conversation so that there is adequate support for the owner and the patient. You know, it would be worthwhile to note too that not every dog trainer who has the CPDTKA certification has the knowledge, skills, or experience to handle behavior cases. They may, but I think it's that credential, the CBCCKA credential, is the sign that the person has gone to the next level and is ready and has demonstrated competence in the area of behavior problems. And so we want to make sure that before a veterinarian refers to a behavior case, for instance, to a trainer, that they have done some due diligence and done an interview to make sure that the person they're referring to has experience in the problem.
Well, thank you so much. Now, knowing that, how do you think the roles of vet and trainer intersect? And how are they different or the same?
Dog trainers can help young dogs avoid veterinary problems, right? We can teach them not to chew on things they're not supposed to chew on. We can teach owners how to interrupt and redirect unwanted behavior. We certainly don't have medical degrees, though. We need the veterinary team to, you know, help support the medical side of it, make sure the dogs are receiving appropriate vaccines so they can come to training or dog daycare. We need to make sure that we're there to support the veterinary team on making sure the dog is resilient and comfortable for routine handling and examination appointments. So I think it's like we said earlier, where it takes a village, and we need to make sure that we're working together so that the patient and the owners are supported and the dog is learning to be well-mannered and comfortable at the vet clinic, in public, at home. And one of the things that I found when I worked at the veterinary practice is that over time, we really changed the culture of our veterinary practice by having our veterinarians work more directly with dog trainers and incorporating dog training into the regular, you know, routine care appointments. It changed the culture of the dogs that we were seeing.
I just wanted to reiterate how important you and your organization and dog trainers are out there. It is something where in the veterinary ER, in general practice, if you're going in for vaccines, veterinarians have to talk about so many things, from diet to environment to crate training to puppy obedience training to preventative care to heartworm disease. And, you know, it's so much to cover in a 20-minute period. And that's why it's so important that you find appropriate resources. And that's why it's so important that your dog, regardless of age, because you can teach an old dog new tricks, that when you get that new dog, that you enroll in that appropriate. Again, I'm a huge advocate of 2 semesters of puppy obedience or doggy obedience. Really important, because many people, like when I go to friends' houses where they have a dog that's never been to puppy obedience, they're poorly behaved. They're jumping up on you. They're barking. You know, and if you're frustrated with your dog's behavior, it's never too late. As veterinarians, as veterinary technicians, as dog trainers, I always feel like we have a higher level of expectations of how we expect a dog to behave. We expect a dog to not pull on a leash and, you know, when you're coming into the house carrying groceries, not trip you down the stairs because they're jumping on you, but to know, at least for me, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, on just a few basic commands. To me, it's sit, stay, down, leave it, off. That's it. That's all I want. I don't want my dog, I don't want any dogs to know how to shake hands or roll. Those are, you know, things that teach your dog to paw. They are elective fun things, but like, it's more important to have those basics. Bradley, weigh in here.
I agree completely. I think we don't need, the average dog, the average owner don't need a vocabulary of 25 commands. It's the practical everyday things. Sit, come, walk on leash, stay in place. We're always focusing on what do we want you to do? So if you're about to jump on someone, we ask you to sit. If you're walking towards conflict or a problem, come back to me, right? If I'm sitting here talking to my neighbor, sit and stay. So we can have a lot of really practical skills in just a few or four, three or four commands. And I also wanted to just take the opportunity, you know, one of the things that we had done in the past at the veterinary practice I worked for to just kind of carry on with your comment was we used to offer puppy and kitten appointments. So they came in for their puppy vaccine appointments and we're talking about all the stuff we're talking about. Your next vaccine appointment, let's get your fecal parasite check done. You know, here's when we need to start heartworm treatment. Like you said, there's a lot to pack in and that 20-minute appointment. And most owners, they're certainly worried about that kind of stuff. That's why they're there. They know they need to do it, but they're also like, how do we get him to stop nipping at our kids? And how? Why is he barking his crate? And how do we do this? And so we also had, in addition to the regular wellness exam appointments, we had puppy and even kitten appointments where owners signed up. They were 20 or 30 minute appointments, and each appointment had a subject. So we talked about crate training, house training, and puppy nipping. We did some sits and downs in the clinic. So not only were the owners getting support within the practice and creating a relationship with the trainer that the veterinarian had referred them to, but it created that whole symbiotic relationship. And it really just continued the care past the medical piece of it. And it got the dogs in there for things other than vaccines and being handled by strangers. So that was also, I think it helped the positive association, the conditioning process.
Wonderful. You know, I just want to reiterate again, thank you so much. So important. Dog trainers play such a vital role. And if you don't believe me, just look at what COVID has done to what we call pandemic puppies. They're poorly behaved. They're poorly socialized. They don't know how to walk on a leash. So important that you take the time to make sure your dog is appropriately trained, because I promise you, not only will it make your life better, but it'll improve your bond that you have to your dog. Bradley, thank you so much. Fantastic information, and really appreciate you joining us for today's ER Vet Show.
Thanks for having me. This was great.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Find me at drjustinelee.com, on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Justine Lee, or email me your pet questions at drjustine@petliferadio.com. Don't forget, you can also find Bradley and his organization, the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers, or CCPDT, online too. With that, we're out of time, and we want to thank our guests and Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. See you at the next episode.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.